Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue to study from the book of Acts. This morning, we made a very simple structure about the book of Acts. Though that there are many chapters, a total of 27 chapters, that we can basically divide it into four categories that will help you to see the whole plan or the whole structure of the book of Acts. So this morning we talk about one commission, which is preaching the gospel. That's the entrustment of the Lord to the church. Second, we talk about two peaks of the work of the Lord. That was in chapter 5 and chapter 19. But in chapter 5 is the shadow of Apostle Peter. And in chapter 19 is the handkerchief of Apostle Paul. That was demonstrated as the highest point of the miracle and signs, or the highest point of the work for the apostles. So this morning we ended with the concept that there must be miracle and signs follow you when you preach the gospel. But this miracle and signs is not limited to only that of the supernatural phenomena. A lot of times we are expecting or we are hoping to see miracle and signs such as disease or illness were cured, or accident saved, or something supernatural, something drastic like dead resurrect. We mostly consider that's the miracle and sign that we want to see. Are there such a miracle and sign? Yes, they are. And not only in Africa, but also in many other places as well. Okay? Even nowadays, even in U.S., even in New York, that if you happen to see local church member, you can ask them. Many of them, they have supernatural experience of how God demonstrates a great power to save them in time of danger. Okay? However, you have to remember that the greatest miracle that followed by the gospel is not those physical or material blessing. It's not. The greatest miracle that abide by the gospel is the transition or the transformation of a human heart. This is the most difficult part. It's very easy, or shouldn't say very easy. You know that even if you are, if a sick person were cured, thank God, that's the blessing of God. However, a person who are cured from the sickness doesn't mean he will not be sick ever again. Okay? And even if he was never sick again, one day he will still die. A person resurrected from death doesn't mean he's going to live forever. So those physical, material blessings are only temporal, only short period of time. The effect is limited, so the value is limited. But when the gospel flows through a person's heart and able to transform the heart, transform the life, transform the mind, that a new goal, a new value, a new direction is set up, a new life that's been lived, that's called greatest miracle. Okay? So today, please do not only focus upon, oh, you know what, this happened, that happened, wow, oh, miracle of signs, vision, dreams. All those are very limited in value. They have some value. But please do remember, that's not the most important thing. A person can see miracle, many miracles, but still not able to go to heaven. On the contrary, a person can never have any of those supernatural experiences, but still able to reach the heavenly gate and enter to the heavenly kingdom. Okay? So please do remember, we are not in here pursue for miracle and sign. Because miracle and sign cannot bring you salvation. In Gospel John chapter 5, the Jesus Christ said to the disciples, he said, you study the scripture, for in there is the eternal life. And this is the scripture that bear witness, bear testimony for him. Okay? So Jesus Christ made it very clear, how do you receive salvation? You have to know Jesus. How do you know Jesus? You have to study the Bible. Okay? So where is the salvation? Where is the ultimate pathway, entrance into heavenly kingdom? It's in the Bible. Okay? And then we talk about three stages. In the book of Acts, he also talk about three stages, which is the progression in preaching the gospel, the progression in the development of the holy work. Start from where? Jerusalem. Remember in chapter 1, it says that you shall make disciples preaching the gospel from Jerusalem to Samaria to the land of Judea, and then where? Where? What's the last one? To the end of the world, the end of the earth. Okay? So then you will see how the book of Acts follow this pattern. In Acts chapter 1, it talks about that they are where? Jerusalem. The Lord say go out, but did they go out? They did not. They stay in Jerusalem until when? A great persecution. Who got killed? Who got killed? Stephen got killed. Okay. That's a good death though. A valuable death. Because of Stephen was killed. So they were under great persecution. Then the disciples and many followers of the Lord, they were forced to scatter into the land of Judea, into Samaria. And then gospel were able to be expanded from Jerusalem to other regions. Okay? So under great persecution, that the plan of God were carried out. So please do understand. Sometimes tribulation is good for the growth of the church. We always pray for that peace, harmony, everything goes all right. This is the life that we want. We don't like challenge. We don't like obstacle. We don't like to be in trouble. We like peace and quiet, harmony. We want happily ever after, right? This is what we want. However, you have to understand, happily ever after only exists in Disneyland, okay? It only exists in fable. It's unreal. You will not have happily ever after until you are in the heavenly kingdom. But before that, if you start enjoy or searching for happily ever after right now already, that means you will get weaker and weaker. You will become weak in your faith and unable to face the challenge. So you know that Jesus Christ told us that in order to enter into heavenly kingdom, you have to strive. From the time of John the Baptist until today, in Matthew chapter 11, from the time of John the Baptist until today, heavenly kingdom is for those who strive, for those who fight, for those who bear pressure and overcome obstacles, then they are worthy of the heavenly kingdom. So brother and sister, please do remember, persecution on you is for a greater purpose. Difficult situation or difficult environment builds a stronger mind and build a stronger soul. So if you are always looking for the easy way out, always try to dodge, hide away, to dodge from pressure, to dodge from challenge, to avoid confrontation, to hide from any pressure, I'm telling you, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker. You might be very smart. Oh, you know what? I can sneak away. I can do. Make a detour. I can do a. You know what? That's not going to help you in the long run. Once there was a, what you might call it, Columbine. There was a Columbine shooting. You were too young to know this. There was a gunman that entered into a school and started shooting students. And then the gunman pointed the gun to a girl who claimed that she is a Christian and said that if you deny your God, I will let you live. If you want to be a Christian, I will kill you. If you were in that situation, what would you do? What would you do? So the girl was put in that situation, and then she said, I will never deny my God. And what happened after that? The angel. No. Sorry to disappoint you. You'll be like, oh, heavenly heaven opened, angel came down. And with a big sword, chopped the guy to pieces. No. Sorry. That only happened in Star Wars, okay? May the force be with you. But you know what? She was killed. She was shot and killed. But from that, think about it. If we were in that situation, what would you do? You know that there was a student. I asked this before. And one of the students, high school students, say, easy. She's not very smart. I was like, okay. And then I said, what will you do? And the student told me, you know, of course it's the boy. Only boy come up with this, huh? The boy is like, you know what? She's not very smart. If I were her, I would just, hey, dog. All right. This is my finger in my bag. And then I would say, sure, I would deny my God. But in my heart, I would say, you fool. I deceive you. Yeah. Sorry, that's not going to work. As smart as you thought you are, that's not very smart. Doesn't matter how you justify yourself. Doesn't matter how you finding excuse to go around the corner, to cut through the show. It doesn't matter how you try to convince yourself. You are only running away from persecutions. That's it. It doesn't matter how you cross your finger. It doesn't matter what you say in your heart. Obviously, in time of tribulation, you run away. Okay? So, I don't know. If we were in that situation, I don't know. I don't know I don't know what you would do, and I don't know what I would do. Right now, it's very easy to say, I will surely stand up for my God. But you know what? Until that, you only really know yourself. And you will only really know your faith until that very moment. Then you will see, what are you made of? Seriously, right now, everybody looks good. Pastor standing here, we all look good. But only until that very moment when the great tribulation come upon you, then you will be able to see. You will be able to see, what are you made of? Can't tell right now. You know, I just wish that we don't have to face that kind of difficult challenge. But at the same time, we should also be mentally prepared if we have to face that. Because you don't know, you never know. But meanwhile, if even in our situation today, believing in God is easy, talk about faith is easy, upholding truth is easy, Nobody persecute you. Nobody throw you in jail. And even in this kind of easy environment, you are still unable to uphold your belief. Then, what can you do when more difficult situations appear? For some of you, it's so difficult already, even telling people you are TJC member. It's difficult enough even to say a silent prayer, say grace before you eat a meal. Then, if you cannot even do that, what can you do? Nothing. So you know what? Life is about challenge. You know that every day in school, among your friends, or in the future when you live in the school dormitory, every step is to prepare you for something greater to come. If you fail to do it now, you will fail when the greater pressure falls upon you. But if you are able to, even on small things, stand firm, fully understand who you are, why you are doing it, why are you different than the world, then you know what? As you build up the experience, as you build up and become stronger, As you are ready to face greater challenge, when things comes, you will be able to stand firm in your faith. Okay? So, I don't know in high school, but I don't know about you, but like in high school, we have like food court, like auditorium, there was a food court that all the students go there and eat. And sometimes, even go there and eat, saying grace, you sit with all your friends. Sometimes saying grace could be embarrassing, right? No? No, you have no problem. Pretty good. So, who feel very embarrassing sitting with your friend and say grace before you eat? Oh, I know. Thank you. I know. For those who did not raise your hand because you don't have friends. I saw Maven. Suddenly I remember. Always sit there all by himself, saying grace for like 3 minutes. Still nobody pay attention. You know what? Sometimes it could be very embarrassing. It could be very embarrassing, especially if you got friends who like to make fun of people, like pick on you, make fun of you. Okay. Some of the counselor heard this before, but it happened to me in high school. When I say grace, I open my eyes, my food is gone. That's what happened. That was high school. High school kids are mean. Look at you. Right. So you know what? You know, we were sitting on the table, so you know, as usual, I say grace. They all know. And when I opened my eyes, they took my food and hide it. And they were all laughing. I know nobody will tell me where my food is. And if I get angry, they'll be like, oh, Christian, huh? You got angry so easily. So what do you do? What do you do in that situation? What will you do? Huh? You just stand up, walk away, starving. Right? Deborah, what will you do? No, not Deborah. Deborah, I start slapping people on the face. Yeah. And then, you know what Deborah will do? You took my food, huh? Oh, beep, 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 beep. Spitting on everybody's food. You know what? So what I did was very simple. You took my food, I will take yours. So when they were all laughing, I just grabbed someone's plate and took a bite. And all the laugh just stopped. And they all look at each other. So the person who hide my food need to take my food and give it to the person. So you know what? Be smart, be creative, but do not allow situation like this to frighten you. There was once when I was working, I worked for a good-sized company. We have like about 6,000 people in that company. And there was once I was out in a dinner appointment. You know, for us, even eating is about work. So, you know, we went to a very high-end restaurant with a very important client. Those are big department store VP. So you know what is a table? We're all sitting there. I was the lowest rank. I was like the little potato on the table. Everyone is like, oh, you know, prestigious, like a very successful business person. So it was so embarrassed. Like when they come to me and ask for drink, when the waitress came and asked for drink, I was like, Coke, please. And the waitress, she was laughing. She was like, sorry, sir, we do not serve soft drinking here. Because it's a very high-end restaurant. It's all about, like, it's all alcohol. So I still remember that after we placed the order and the food is served, at that very moment, the first time in my life, I struggle. Should I say grace? Do I need to do a silent prayer? Because it's going to be very awkward. And everyone will be like stirred because it's like a oval-shaped table. Everyone will see it. So I thought about what you guys usually do, the miracle 2 seconds. I thought about it. Right? Been there, done that. Oh, thank God. But you know what? I struggled a little. I was like, what should I do? Should I just pretend grabbing my fork and then do a quick grace? But you know what? In my heart, just like, you know what? Whatever. Yeah. If they don't like it, that's their problem. So I just bow my head and say a silent prayer, say grace. And I can suddenly hear all the chatting and laughing stopped. I was so You know, because I was the smallest guy in the whole meeting, my heart was pounding because I know my boss will be furious because I sort of ruined the whole atmosphere. But I was like, you know what? Whatever it is, if I get laid off, I get laid off, right? So after the saying grace, I opened my eyes and everyone is staring at me. And I saw, and I was like, what? And it was a very awkward moment. But thank God, that my boss was like trying to break the ice, like redivert the attention by making a not funny joke. So you know what? I was able to go through that. And I was able to do what I should. And the funny thing is, oh, my boss is a Buddhist, a very sincere Buddhist. But every after that incident, every time when we are in this kind of meeting, business meeting, or business dinner, before when the food is served, he will start like hitting the glass. Ding, 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 ding. Everybody quiet. Raymond is about to say a grace. And I told the boss, but you are a Buddhist. And he said, but you are not. I was like, ooh, okay. And the funny thing is that even my boss, like every time when we eat together, he will say grace with me. Like everybody would just have, oh, the boss was like, everybody silent. Time for Raymond to say grace. I don't know if he was making fun of me or he was just having a little fun, but hey, I stand where I am. And you like it, thank God. You don't like it, that's your problem. And then, you know what? Since then, everybody just work along me. And it's not a problem. Even the boss will tell everybody to respect my practice of religion. So, you know, the thing is, the more you are afraid, the more you withdraw, the weaker you become. But if you make things very clear right in the beginning, those who really care about you will learn to respect you. For those who do not respect you, they are probably not worthy to be your friend. Okay? That's how I feel. Okay? So, persecution. So, in times of great persecution, as the consequence, gospel were able to be spread out into other regions, from Jerusalem to Samaria, to the land of Judea, and to the end of the earth. Okay, so that's the third, three stages. And then the fourth is from chapter 22 to chapter 26. Four times, Paul appeal in front of either in Sanhedrin or in front of the king or in front of the governor or even in front of the emperor to defend his faith. Okay? So at the end of the book of Acts, it's not about preaching the gospel anymore. It's to stand firm and defend for your faith. There will be time for you to preach the gospel. There will be time for you to stand strong of what you believe, but there will also be time for you to defend of what you believe. At this very moment, your understanding of truth becomes crucial. Crucial. How much do you really know your stuff? Because people are going to challenge you. So you know what? Preaching the gospel usually do not require a lot of or a very deep understanding of the Bible. It does not. It only requires a brave heart. And it requires a self-motivated action. You tell yourself, I will do it. I will give a try. I will invite people to church. So you know what? It only requires your bravery. However, defending for your faith is different. So you know that we see that in the book of Acts. They go from understanding their mission to facing great persecution, then courageously preaching the gospel, seeing miracle abide everywhere they go. But lastly, Book of Acts is all about know what you believe. So Paul said, I know whom I believed. So Paul has a very deep understanding of the faith that he believed and why he was so strong about this faith. How about you? Because one day you will be challenged. Your friend will say, okay, you know what? You want me to go to your church, but why? What's so special about your church? I got a church at the corner of my street, which is 3 minutes walking. Why do I need to take subway for an hour and a half to go to your church? Why? Tell me why. And if you are unable to answer that question, if you are unable to defend for what you believe, if you are unable to convince people that your belief is different than theirs, if even you yourself is very confused, people say, what's the difference? It's all the same. Then why do I need to go? We got two girls. You know what? That would be pretty sad. That would be very sad if that's the way that you defend your faith. That means you know nothing. You're not rooted. So number four in here, four times, Paul was able to stand in front of different congregation, different authority, but he was able to stand there and say, I know what I believe. I know the God I believe. Do you? And you know what he was able to, though, no result, but he was able to strongly convince the people, I know whom I have believed. Whether you believe or not, I cannot control, but at least I know what I believe. Okay, so that's the structure, that's the pattern of the book of Acts. However, for your information, according to the schedule, this class is not about the book of Acts. So we spent like 2 sessions. Because the curriculum now, Sister Evelyn gave me a very, very difficult topic. The topic's the families in the book of Acts. And did you see how hard I tried to prolong the introduction? Because there are not that many families in the book of Acts. Original schedule, 7 hours. And I called her, I was like, this is impossible. I know I can do a lot of sidetracking. You know, I'll just tell you a lot of story, like going all over the place and make fun of Canadians, like what I usually, like you know, my usual practice to prolong time. But 7 hours in the family of, in the book of Acts, is really difficult because there are very little information about different families. So, you know what, we still have some time. We will talk about the first family. Family is very crucial. Not only in the Bible, but also in our life. In fact, church, foundation of the church, or the basis, we're not talking about Jesus Christ. Huh? Jesus Christ, the truth is the foundation of the church. I know that. What I'm saying is, in terms of this body of Christ, the fundamental unit, the basic unit, is family. His family. When you have strong family in the church, then you have a strong church. When you have family with many problems between spouse, between parent and children, if you have a lot of relationship problem, marriage problem, or parenthood problems, when you have all those problems exist in the church, the church is not going to grow. The church will be very weak. Why? Because all the power has been inverted, has been used inwardly, just trying to fix the problem. So family is the basic unit for a church, and strong family guarantee the prosperity of the church. When you have spouse who are both loving God and loving each other, when you have parents who care about the religious education of their children, then you will have a harmony, well-built family. Then you will see the church is well-united and then well-developed. So family is very crucial. And in the book of Acts, they mention some families. Serve as a warning or serve as an example for us today. Of course, for your age, talking about family is still a little bit early because you're like, what, high school? All right, you are only in high school. So from now until you grow up, until you build your family, form your own relationship, is still a long time from now. So I guess the portion that we share for this class It's mainly for your counselors. Sorry, no. No, so you know that though that you are still young, but though that you are young, we need to build up the correct concept toward the importance of marriage, toward the importance of family, because if you are taking the wrong direction, it's not only ruin yourself, it could ruin your children, you ruin your family relationship, and also it might damage the growth of the church. It might delay or pull back the growth of the church. Okay? So there are several families recorded in the book of Acts, and some of them are good, but some of them are not so good. And they shall be used as an example or warning for us to make sure that we have the right concept toward family. Let's turn to Book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 5. This is the first family recorded in the Bible, recorded in the Book of Acts. Chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, verse 2, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part, and laid it to the apostles' feet, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias heard this word, fall down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Let's read verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later while his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Verse 10. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carry her out, bury her by her husband. Okay? So this is the first family recorded in the book of Acts. And unfortunately, this recording is a tragic ending. It's a family. It's between a spouse. It's between husband and wife. However, they both died. They both died. And their death serve only as a warning, become a great fear for that generation, and also serve as a great warning for you and I today. In here, we found a few things. We found one thing, number one. This couple, they are very, very close. They don't hide anything from each other. So are they a loving couple? Yes. Yes, they are a loving couple. They communicate. They discuss, they make sure that they are communicating. You know what? They make sure that they communicate to each other. They do not hide anything from one another. So only looking from that perspective, are they good spouse? Yes. Yes. So if you only look at this portion, this is a good example of a marriage when husband and wife are able to communicate, when husband and wife involve each other so that they fully comprehend, they fully agree upon, they fully respect each other's decision. This husband and wife, they are very open to each other. So only up here, they are good. But what's the problem? That they agree upon the evil things as well. That's the sad part. That's what destroyed the whole beautiful relationship. When two agree upon to wrong against God, this kind of agreement defeats the purpose of the marriage. However, we need to make sure that our future marriage is better than Ananias and Sapphira. In order to do that, number one, communication is the key. Communication. If you cannot even communicate with your spouse, that means your relationship is even worse than this couple. Even worse. Nowadays, this is the problem. As a pastor, we often need to deal with marriage issues, marital issues. Why? Always from self-centered. Refuse or unwilling to communicate. Or, you know what, this generation, the so-called communication is, I talk, you listen. That's the communication in the mind of many people. If you observe people around you, sometimes you find that's what happened. I talk, you listen. I come up with idea, you follow. That's the good communication. No, it's not. It's called selfishness. Communication, taking two party to listen. So know that the word communicate means conveying the message, right? Communication begins with listening. Listening. It's not beginning with talking. Communication never begins with talk. It begins with listen. If you are unable to listen, there is no so-called communication. Only you are talking to yourself. Or you are just being selfish, expecting everyone to listen to you. So remember, a good communication always begins with listening. And from listening to comprehension, understanding. Not only you listen, but you try to understand why. Why the other person say so? Where did they come from? What is their standing point? Put yourself in their shoes so that you can understand. Only by doing that, a true communication can be formed. Can be formed. So we need to be better than Ananias and Sapphira. If they are able to communicate, we need to be able to communicate as well. Between spouse, between parent and children, we have to try to understand. And you can only understand by listening. You know that they did a, I think it's Cornell. University of Cornell, they did a survey. They did a survey for the U.S., for the United States. And they found out that in United States, not in the church, we talk about in general. In United States, in average, every day, father spend 6 minutes talking to their children. 6 minutes, average 6 minutes. Your parents talk to you longer than that, right? No? I haven't talked to my father for like 3 months. No, I'm not me, you. So, do you talk to your parents? Do you communicate with your parents? You guys are reluctant to answer, or you are unwilling to face the reality. I know that talking to mom is more common, right? Mom, where's my dinner? Yeah, you nag, right? I know your family very well. So, you know that talking to mom is more common because you know that you need things. You, where's my sandwich? Where's my drink? Where's my sock? Socks? Where's my, we need mom in but father, we don't talk to father that much. So you know that they did a survey that in average in U.S., the family, 6 minutes. And usually happen in dinner table. And the conversation is always about, how is your dad? How is your day? How is your dad? My dad is pretty good. The conversation is always about, oh, how is your day? How is school? How is your friend? How is your test? And then the answer is always, fine, good, okay, good, fine, okay. You ask one more time, I go back to my room. You know that our conversation between parent and children or father and son become very limited. And because of that, there are such a strong generation gap between two generations that you don't really know what happened. You don't really know what happened at home. You don't really know what happened to your parents. Okay? So, you know what? Let me ask you one question. How much do you really know your parents? How do they meet each other? Do you know how they meet each other?
Yes.
Really? You digged it out? Wow. Okay, your mom told you. Your mom couldn't, just have to tell you, right? All right, you know what? So there are many things. You know, I didn't know that my father played piano when I was, 20 some years. Just one day I saw that he was standing and I stopped playing. I said, what? You play? And then he told me that back then, in their time, in Taiwan TTP, all the TTP students are required to learn. Because in the old time, that not many people who know how to play piano or organ, right? So the pastor will need to play piano, lead hymns at the same time, and then do sermon afterward. So one person do everything. Okay? So you know what? They were required to learn. And I never realized that. There were so many things I did not know about my parents that I only discovered as I grow older and older. So you know what? There are many things that perhaps you have no idea. Or probably you don't really care. You care a lot about your friends. You want to know everything about it. What kind of music they listen, what kind of brand that they wear, what kind of hair gel that they use, and you want, let me copy you. You just want to be like your friend. So you know everything about your friend, but you know very little about the one that's closest, dearest to you, or the one that care about you the most. Lacking of communication. So we need to do better than Ananias and Sapphira. We need to learn how to communicate by, first of all, learn to listen. Second, learn to comprehend. That's only when you are able to communicate and respond properly. Okay? So we will end the class in here. Let's all say a silent prayer.